1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first two verses, the hidden wisdom. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now the words of Paul here declare a purpose and a direction. And he determined something. And I'm wondering, have you ever determined anything, a direct determination toward the things of God, towards the Word of God? A determining factor in your life when you determine to do something. I must determine each and every Sunday. I have to determine that this is the way it's going to be and this is what I'm going to do. It's a sense of purpose. And we all have this thing. Most folks just have it in the natural, but we can have it in the spiritual. And if there be anything in this life that's determinable, it be Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the determining factor. That's the wisdom that separates you and I, or those that are in Christ, from everyone else, the determining factor. It says in verse 7 of our text there in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world under our glory. Now that's the difference between what I call the have and have nots, or the elect and the non-elect. This hidden wisdom before the world began. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were chosen in him before the world began. You see? It's a hidden wisdom. Now, before you claim such wisdom, I want you to mark verse 6 very well here in our text. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. Well, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, those who have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay? He said, know ye not that you're the temple of God, those that are Christ, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? You might say that we're many church buildings, you see, many, M-I-N-I, many church buildings. I ask, is God the author of sin? No, of course not. So, does sin dwell in your temple? Does sin dwell in your earthen vessel, in your church building, you see? Idolatry, fornication, adultery. What might we find in your church house, in your earthen vessel? The hidden wisdom or sin? Your temple. The Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. The two can't come together. They can't come together. They have nothing in common. What communion hath light with darkness? You know, isn't the word simple? But we make it hard because we're always looking for a way out. Are you unequally yoked? He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You can answer this question. All of us, everybody that hears this can answer. You may not. Perhaps you won't. But you can. I thought when I said, you know, you can be unequally yoked within your own self. Have you ever thought about that? Within your own self. Think about it. In verse 8, 1 Corinthians 2, he said, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The princes of this world, had they had this wisdom, that this hidden wisdom, we're speaking this morning, this hidden wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. Matter of fact, they couldn't have. you see. And yet perhaps you claim such wisdom and you crucify him afresh because you know, but you haven't determined, you see, in this temple, you see, doing that you know to be wrong. While yet in your sin, how shall we, God says, how shall we, you and I, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? How? How? It makes no sense. Have you this perfect wisdom, this hidden wisdom? I've thought much lately about this thing of there being nothing new under the sun. Solomon said that there's nothing new under the sun. And I'll be honest, I couldn't rectify that thing. Because they didn't have computers, and they didn't have cell phones, and they didn't have automobiles, and they didn't have airplanes, and they didn't have electricity. And so I couldn't rectify that thing with the wealth and knowledge and the inventions of our day. I just saw with the Chinese, they surprised our intelligence this morning. They sent a missile around the world, okay? And I saw a show on Netflix a week or two ago, and it was called The Billion Dollar Code. And it was about some boys back in the 90s before you and I probably even knew much about computers. We certainly didn't have smartphones and didn't have computers like we do now. And they had invented something called Terra Earth or some such thing, and eventually became Google Earth. And they tried to sue Google. They had a patent on it, but obviously they lost. You can't beat Google. But they call this thing the God Machine. It's what's today is Google Earth. You can go around the world. We can go right now over to that desktop, and we can pull up a house in China, and we can zoom in on that thing. They call it the God Machine, okay? New under the sun? Well, hardly. You see, God can do all that. Matter of fact, he sees much, much deeper. It may be new under the sun to you and I, but it's not new under the sun to God. In fact, God can see into the soul, and he can see from infinity to the smallest atom of our being. Of our existence. He created it. And so when you see these plastic versions of things that God did, you see, the point I make is that their world, those without this hidden wisdom, they have to rely on what I call, and what they call even, the virtual. Everything today is relatively virtual. You ever actually look up the word virtual? It a simple explanation is almost or nearly as described. You know, Satan, the serpent in the garden, he said, "Ye shall not surely die." You see, that's virtually what God said, except he didn't say not. Bill Clinton, I don't know the age of people, you know, I hear these things. But when they nailed him in the 90s for indiscretions, sin, he said, it depends on what your definition of is. And that became a famous line. Well, I like this definition of virtual. Now if you can hear this, it's hard enough to read without hearing it. Relating to the points at which rays would meet if produced backwards. Relating to the points at which rays would meet if produced backward. Or denoting particles or interactions with extremely short lifetimes. And owing to the uncertainty principle, indefinitely great energies postulated as intermediates in some processes. Do you get that? Garbly goop. Definition of virtual. You know what that tells me? In the end, I've read the book, I've seen the movie, we all die. We all die. We're all going to. It amazes me. We were speaking of something a while ago. They won't think about death. The only thing that is assured in this life, and people don't want to face it, they don't want to speak about it, they don't want to think about it, and yet it's as common as life itself. Life and death, you see. So for my intellect, I like the word counterfeit. You might say Google says, although the Bible says that Lucifer says in Isaiah 14, he said, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exact my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. They call that the five I wills of Satan. I think you could make the same claim the five I wills of Google. You see? You can ask Jeff. He'll tell you he worked for Google. And there were things he couldn't even say on the telephone to me. You see? That was Lucifer's claim. I will. I will. You know, we do the same thing. I will go to college. I will become a professor. I will be an engineer. I will go to town this week. I will go on vacation. I will, I will, I will. This past week, I spoke a couple of instances here in the home. And just talking to Melissa, and I spoke of a product, and I spoke of a video, just like we're sitting here. And I never searched for either. I just spoke of him. You might say, in casual conversation. And within days, both of these things appeared on my computer. So they're listening to me. Okay? And that troubles a lot of us. A lot of us, we're so troubled about it. Well, God's listening. And that's the only thing I'm concerned about. God's listening. You see, we're shocked at such technology. But we're told not to fear these things. What we ought to fear, we give little regard to going about our daily business. I will, I will, I will. Or here we are in sin, or using profanity. Maybe some even using the Lord's name in vain. I've heard men profess God, and then the next minute they use his name in vain. We fear Google. We fear the government, but we don't fear God. Now, this is all part of this hidden wisdom, you see. I'm tying this together in a nice, neat little bundle. God is not virtual. Although I believe that in most minds, even especially religious people, he is. And this God, he will judge a man for every idle word that comes out of his mouth. We're not to fear death. Did you know that? We are not to fear death for us or any of ours. We are not to fear death. Period. We are not. Because God doesn't make mistakes, and he's the sovereign. He is the God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. If you turn, it's the same page for me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't have to turn in my Bible. It's on the same page. And verse 21. He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I've had this foolish profession for a long, long time, just preaching. But you see the first line of that, look at it carefully. The world by wisdom knew not God. And they proved such in the crucifixion. Again, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified him, had they had the hidden wisdom. Now, do you know God because you're smart? Because you're learned? Or some acquired knowledge that your folks gave you? Or how is it that you know God? I mean, that's an extremely important question. How is it that you know God? Well, somebody told me about it and I believed them. Well, that's okay. But I'm asking you how you know God, you see. Now, where is the seat of your knowledge? He said, How shall we? Those are hidden. How shall we? And then I hear the refrain, I'm just flesh. But then I read, but you're not in the flesh. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. You're not in the flesh, you see. Now. He said, now. Now that means now. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, 9, he's not his. He's none of his. You see this hidden, and the natural man, he tries to find a way out of that. Yeah, but. And the religious man, he tries to find a way out of that thing. Well, it doesn't mean exactly, you know, we're always trying to find a way out of what it is that we don't need a way out of if we have this wisdom. And it's not so hard to see where a man's wisdom lies, from whence its source is. I've thought about, man, I get this word and I start thinking all the virtual Christians I've observed over the years. We've got, man, it's an amazing thing. You know, turn to 2 Corinthians. Go over to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Verse 13 through verse 15, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Do you see that? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Transform. You know what the most popular toys are for children? Transformers. Something that appears to be one thing but is another can transform. I think it's still the most popular toy. I've been out for years. We didn't have Transformers. You know, I transformed into a cowboy or an army guy and tried to poke my brother's eye out, you know, with a BB gun. But Transformers, you see. He said, as ministers. I sent a text out this morning. It's amazing. John MacArthur, one of the most prolific or famous evangelicals today, the carrier, the bearer of the truth. And did he think the blood's virtual? Virtual. And then I don't know if you saw what I sent out this morning. Some of you got it, I hope, that he believes that John MacArthur believes that you can take the mark of the beast and be saved.
Wow.
I said that to a fellow I know that he really likes MacArthur. I mean, I heard it with my own ears. You can take the mark of the beast and be saved. Like Transformers? Like ministers of righteousness? Like false apostles? You know, if I have to tell you or show you that I'm a child of God, that I'm a Christian, You know, I'm probably not. Now you think about that. You see, because my walk, our walk, those in Christ, our walk is of spirit and power. Spirit and power. I've got a power of a hidden wisdom. I don't care if you believe me or not. It doesn't matter. Last week, a fella called me and said, "Oh, you're a wannabe preacher." Well, I know what that man thinks a preacher is, you see. That's the difference. Because he's got this stereotypical virtual image of what a preacher is by the wisdom of this world, you see. And I can't tell you how many times in this walk of 35 years I've been told, "Well, you don't look like a preacher." You know when I say that? Thank God. Thank God I don't look like a preacher. They probably thought John the Baptist would have been a Middle Ages bandito, okay? Leather and camel hair. He looked like Sonny Bono, a hippie, okay? You know? And Jesus, what'd they say about Jesus? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. These are the religious people, by the way, okay? The religious people. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 18, verse 19, he said, "For John," and talking about John the Baptist, "he came neither eating nor drinking." They say he had a devil. They told Jesus, said, "You're the head of the devils. You're the king of the devils." You know, the religious people. "As Son of Man," Jesus, "he came eating and drinking." And they said, "Behold, a gluttonous man." He had a good appetite. He ate good. They told him he was gluttonous. "And a winebibber," said, "Oh man, he's a drunkard. He drinks wine and a friend of publicans and sinners." You know, you can't imagine over the years how many people told me they'd rather be with those people because all the hypocrites in the church. The virtual Christians, you see. But wisdom is justified of her children. You see the end? That's our end today. That's where we're going to end this word. But wisdom is justified of her children. God's truly incredible. This hidden wisdom. And only those that have it know. Now there's some that they think they have it. But that's why I've dispelled some of those things today. Are you justified? Not of man, but of God. Let's turn right before we quit. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 2. Turn to Romans chapter 2 about justification. These things aren't preached anymore. Don't know why. Romans chapter 2. And look at verse 13 and verse 14. He said, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Okay, I know. He answers. He says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," I'm a Gentile, I'm not under the law, okay? "But I do by nature the things that are contained in the law. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature things contained in the law, these, having not the law, or a law unto themselves." How can that be? The hidden wisdom. The hidden wisdom. Listen, you don't have to tell children of God how to live. You ever raise children? Some of them, you got to be on them all the time. Don't. And some of them, that one over there, it never gave me a bit of trouble. Never gave me a bit of trouble. But that one over there, he was trouble all the time. Well, that's the way it is. You know, that's natural, but I'm speaking in the spiritual. We have a hidden wisdom. Those that are perfect. in Christ Jesus, that have the Spirit of God in them. I don't go around spouting that thing. It's a hidden wisdom. They're not going to believe it anyway. You see? And so I can pass through this world like they passed through the Red Sea on dry land and look to see the waters to the right and the left. But I'm going through that thing. And here I am, I'm the oldest among you, and I'm coming up on the river of death. My brother's coming up on the river of death. But you're coming up on it too. And you don't know. There's somebody the age of this baby that's going to die today. Today. Right now. As we speak. I can't speak this word before somebody that age is going to die. So I don't know. It's God's business. But I have this hidden wisdom. From before the foundation of the earth, I have this peace that passeth all understanding. I have a way out of this life. I have a way across the river of death. I've got a crucified Lord said, I'll go first. What a glorious thing. And he said, I'll leave you something. What did he say? He said, I won't leave you alone. He said, I'll leave you the comforter. I'm going to leave you the comforter. So many people claim to have that comforter, but boy, they are a comfortless bunch of people. Bunch of virtual comfortless bunch of people. But you and I, those in Christ Jesus, we have the hidden wisdom.